So, Jed, who is your favorite to win the gold medal in the team biathlon event?
Is this a tournament that's happening?
This would be the Olympics.
That's in the summer, though.
The Winter Olympics that started today?
Oh, yeah. Right, that's why there's all those ice skaters in the news. Okay. Sorry. I just thought it was like an I, Tonya thing, like an Oscar nomination push.
In all seriousness, did you forget the Olympics were happening?
I knew they were happening soon.
So you won't be watching the opening ceremonies this evening?
No, I will not be watching the opening ceremonies.
Well, it already happened, so all the rage is that the Tongan guy is, you know, half naked again and oiled up.
Hold on, let me look this up. Go on, keep talking, I'm going to look it up.
No,
Oh my!
and it's cold out, so he's I'm sure he's sporting some THO.
Yeah, there is no temperature that's too cold for that kind of hotness. Wow.
Yeah, it's that time.
Ladies who are listening, or shall I say lady, take a moment and Google search this. Also men who might be, you know, not limited by society's norms, go and check this gentleman out. So to answer your question, John, yes, I will be watching the opening ceremonies tonight.
That's funny. I actually enjoy the Olympics because it's just a short window of time and there's a lot of intensity there. There's both success and failure, and everybody likes to see failure to a certain degree because it makes them feel normal.
That's true. One of the appeals of baseball, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Errors. Things happen.
Even the best players strike out. You know?
Yeah, you fail 70% of the time and you're a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Well, maybe not anymore.
It's changing.
Maybe 65% of the time.
Right. It definitely is changing. So, before we get in, I have a feeling we have some baseball to talk about because we were off last week due to me having to do actual work.
Here's the thing, John. We have baseball to talk about.
Plenty.
But literally the biggest signing that's happened in the last 2 weeks happened while we were recording 2 weeks ago.
Yes. Yes.
That we missed out on. It's still like no, but you know, there's been a dozen articles written on every site about this is going to be the week. And here's how Yu Darvish is a good fit with Minnesota. Yu Darvish doesn't want to go to Minnesota.
He's already made, I find it so interesting about that in particular.
He doesn't want to be in the Winter Olympics.
Well, he specifically has said he wants to be with the Dodgers. And then for a week, we're hearing nothing about stories but him going to the Twins. It's like he's already voiced his opinion that he wants to play for the Dodgers. It's just a matter of making the numbers work. So why are we talking about Minnesota?
It's weird, man. It's weird times.
It is.
We'll get into that. There's like all kinds of conspiracy theories going on now. And
yeah, so this is Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
Yes, this is post-shutdown.
But hold on. You just screwed up.
What?
Every single time I say he's Jed Rigney and you say...
Oh, I'm Jed Rigney.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Wow, we were off a week and everything's out of sync.
No, here's the thing. It's the allergies, man. You can hear it a little bit. It's in my right nose or nostril. I don't have two noses. This is my point, John.
Yeah, you're loopy.
Yeah, I'm a little loopy. But I'm not doing drugs. You know what? The Claritin and the Benadryl and all that, it's in the shelf, and I'm going to keep it there because I want to keep it clean.
You want to be pure.
You know what? I don't mind going to those every now and then in a dire situation, but it's not quite there. And it's just, I apologize if it's a little nasally, but yeah. But I am a little bit kind of whoop, whoop. And so I am Jed Rigney.
Understood. And this is episode 54, the Goose Gossage episode of Foul Territory.
Ooh. Hall of Famer Goose Gossage.
We're getting up there in the numbers. I think it's going to be limited moving forward until we get to 99.
Yeah, we'll do like square roots.
Or half sizes, stuff like that. No, but we do have, we could jump right into the headlines because, you know, we were off a week. And even though the cold stove season has heated up a little bit, there is plenty to talk about. Not anything super huge other than the thing that you alluded to that happened as we were talking last week. or 2 weeks ago. And I believe we were talking about it, that was a rumor. And you're like, nah, I don't think that's going to happen. And boom.
You know what? It was fake news, John, that that I was right.
But it is the Brewers and Lorenzo Cain. Yes. And the I guess the surprise was okay, so now we have a surplus of outfielders. We're signing, right. we trade for one, we sign another, and now we have five outfielders. What are we going to do?
Right. It's really weird for a team to do that in this market, because who needs just like another outfielder? Who wants to take on a contract? So then the Brewers were saying, or there were rumors that Ryan Braun could play first base, but they already have a first base situation going on. So then there were rumors that Ryan Braun would play second base.
Okay.
I would love to watch.
I just love that when it's like, well, we're paying somebody so much money, we got to find a place for them to play. Let's put them somewhere. We got to justify.
Yeah, but
the
he's
cost.
A good player. I mean, the only thing that you can really think about this is like, well, obviously one of these guys is going to get injured at some point, but do you really, if you're the Brewers, do you really build yourself that way? Like, they have four basically all-star outfielders.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that you don't do that. And right. You don't do that if you're a small market team. You do roll the dice a little bit, and you have a fourth outfielder in case Ryan Braun gets injured. It's really weird.
Right, and Santana made sense as the fourth outfielder. They didn't need
right,
to
so then there were rumors
Kane
of
too.
Like Santana going to Cleveland, and it may still happen. Like some of these trades may still happen, but all the other pieces need to start falling into place. And I don't know why they're not just falling into place. Like, is this really
because of Scott Boras?
Like, Scott Boras just won't take, like, and he's just like, no. Do you remember that sketch on Saturday Night Live with Roy Scheider? I think it was Roy Scheider, where he has a 50-yard line Super Bowl ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And he's outside the stadium, and he's trying to sell it for $1 million. And he won't take half of that, and he won't take... He's only going to sell it for $1 million.
And no takers.
No takers. But I think of like Scott Boras, like, no, don't worry, guys. They're going to cave. They always cave. Someone always pops up. But what if no one pops up?
Well, his line is that my clients are willing to wait until into spring training. But are they willing to wait till into the season? Because
right,
like, they sign week one, they're not ready. Although... The MLBPA is putting together a training center, spring training opportunity for non-signed players.
Right.
So that they can get their work in.
Yeah, so they're going to set up like a, what was it, Homestead. Do you remember
that?
Oh,
is it Home? Yeah, Homestead, Florida, right?
That was, that's what
Astros
it was after the strike.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I'm yelling about it right now.
You're excited. You're happy for Homestead.
I'm happy that my mind worked in that moment. Yeah, that's where after the strike, all the free agents, the guys who hadn't signed yet were.
And it's going to be that's probably going to be a 40-man roster there. There's quite a few people unsigned.
Yeah, so many players unsigned. Yeah. And I look at it and I just kind of wonder, like, is this really just. See, because part of the problem is, like, you look at JD Martinez, right? And I think 2 years ago, JD Martinez gets 6-7 years, $25 million.
Mm-hmm.
Easy. Like, that's easy. But then if you look back, you know, Josh Hamilton only got 5-125. And that was an awful deal. And so you look around, there's so many of these awful deals, and teams are kind of like, well, maybe not so many years. The numbers are fine, but not so many years. Well, Boras wants the years. He's always been a years guy and a, you know, average annual value guy, whatever.
And a D-back.
Yes, and yes, exactly. But... maybe the idea here is that teams just don't want to pay for that extra year that they know is going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then if no one else is buying...
Doesn't that make sense, though? But to me, it's like...
Of course
the ownership...
it makes sense. Why is it taking this long for them to figure it out?
Right.
Because
why is
it
what's
taking how
happen,
many contracts like need
be,
to go bad?
What will be so frustrating is if the owners cave in the last minute and all of a sudden we're seeing the deals that... we didn't think were going to happen numbers wise. Right. And all of a sudden you're like, what? You know, they're doing 5 years, 150. Where'd that come from?
Yeah. Cain got a little bit more than people thought.
Yeah. Well, so I think the reason why is because all of the bullpen arms got all the big bucks. So they drained.
See, that's
what
no one's talking about. They're talking about collusion, but so are the owners colluding to give relievers more money?
Right.
Like it's just, they're changing how they value players. You know how they value players? We know they value players differently. Look at what the Arizona Cardinals gave up to trade for JD Martinez.
The Arizona Cardinals?
Arizona Diamondbacks. John, rewind the tape. You'll hear very clearly. I said Arizona Cardinal backs.
Got it. Well,
it sounds a little bit like Cardinals, but it's
Diamondbacks. It is a little bit. It's close. I can see how it could
slip. I got Arizona right, John. But anyway, when the Diamondbacks traded for him, they basically gave Detroit nothing.
Right.
And people were stunned. We were stunned, John. Do you remember?
Yes.
Rewind that tape. We were stunned. They gave up nothing, and any team could have given up nothing. Well, if that's how players are valuing JD Martinez in terms of farm assets, minor league players, then why would they value him as like, oh, yeah, but really he was a $30 million a year, 7-year guy?
Yeah, so is that collusion?
Right.
So, you know, so from the owner's point of view, the fiscal responsibility is to dump him because they know they can't afford him. So why would they change their mind and say, oh, now we're going to pay him a ton of money because before we said we couldn't afford him, but now we, you know, we'll go out and, you know, back up the truck with a bucket load of cash.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Well, then last weekend? Maybe it was the weekend before. So all of a sudden the agent started speaking up, right? Mm-hmm. And they're talking about like, oh, you know, I've never seen anything like this. And owners can't just be thinking this all of a sudden. And there's definitely, you know, there's the possibility of a work stoppage and boycotting spring training. And then even Kenley Jansen was like, hey, you know, if it's going to be like this, then maybe we need to strike. Like, hold on a second, right. Kenley Jansen, who makes $18 million a year.
Yeah.
This is 1 year where it's dipped down. Next year, it will actually shoot up because you've got Donaldson, right. Machado, and Harper as free agents.
Guaranteed that those players will sign during the winter meetings. Guaranteed. Yeah. No later than that. Because the team's going to want them. They're going to be fighting.
Machado and Harper will get $300 million deals.
Yeah. I agree.
So then where's the collusion? Isn't this just like, well, the free agents are really good, but they're not really great? Like, there's no great player out there.
There isn't, because Darvish tarnished a little bit. Arrieta kind of dropped off quite a bit since two seasons ago. So it's not like, okay, we're going to award these people because of what they did 2-3 years ago. Martinez is in the back end of his career.
And he can't play defense.
No. So, you know, we're not talking about Mike Trout. You know, we're not. So I get the perspective, because anybody who
agents are the worst, and I would say the effing worst on this show, but I don't like using bad language, but they are the effing worst. Like, they are the ones who are causing this problem right now, because they're not getting the big contracts they wanted.
Right.
Because look around the league, John, there's no bad GMs anymore.
No, they're savvy now.
There's a couple of guys, like the Marlins situation is a mess, so we have to give them a pass. Like that, I feel bad for that, for everyone involved. Now there's some lawsuits involved with the purchase of it. Anyway, it's just that team is a mess. It will be a mess for years. Loria's laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah, got out.
It's Loria, right?
Good. Yeah.
Okay. like Loria? Loria?
Yeah.
Lori. No, Jeffrey... Isn't there a Jeffrey Lurie?
Jeff Lurie is the owner of the Eagles.
Boom, exactly. Thanks for bringing up that painful memory. All right, so there's no Ruben Amaro Jr.
No.
You know? There's no Ed Wade.
They're young and savvy. They're not a bunch of old guys smoking cigars, doing backroom deals, you know, at 2 a.m. at a bar. That's not
And a lot of teams
anymore.
Actually have multiple general managers now.
Yeah.
That's where they're investing their money. And not to say that there's not money for players, but the players agreed to a collective bargaining agreement where this was possible. They made a mistake in that making that agreement and not foreseeing this. But, you know, like, you can't just say, you know what I was saying? This is what I was saying. There's no real solution here, John, because the owners are going to make a ton of money no matter what. That's what owners do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what if we say... X amount percentage of the profits is for the players. And if they don't spend it, right? If the teams don't spend it.
Goes to the players.
Then the revenue sharing just gets shared with the players. Mm-hmm. And then it's just sort of like, if you played all year, you or you run the roster.
Fractional.
You get a fractional. Yeah. It's just pro rata, right? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, that. Maybe it's just an extra 12 grand
profit
for someone.
Sharing. What would be wrong with that?
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
I think
then
that's a good idea.
then the contracts aren't permanent, right? So let's say 5 years from now, like the same sports writers who are saying the players are being screwed and should be paid more money, these are the same sports writers who are saying that in 5 years, where's the fan base going to be for baseball? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so you're saying there will be a market decline. So why should owners guarantee money? Like, you sign a contract, it's guaranteed. But if you had a profit share, that would be dependent on profit.
Yeah, and one of the things that you're seeing too in sports is that the TV dollars are what is driving success of franchise.
Right.
So you watch in any NBA game except for maybe the Warriors, the Spurs, but almost every night you put a game on, you're going to see tons of empty seats.
Yeah.
But yet these middle of the road players are making $15, $20 million a year
right.
in basketball. They're like the first or second guy off the bench. They're still making big bucks. You have Joakim Noah, who's making $17 million a year, and he's played 3 minutes all season for the Knicks. It's like, it's crazy when you have the money is there because of TV revenue, and they're paying for them, and they're pricing the fans out of the market because they're saying, well, we have to justify these salaries. Therefore, we're increasing the price of our tickets, and fans aren't coming to the ballpark, coming to the stadium as much as they used to. And then you have people kneeling and protests. I know people who are ardent NFL fans for their teams and have been for years, but didn't watch a majority of the season. And one who was a huge Eagles fan didn't even watch the Super Bowl.
Right.
Because of the protest stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of, it's greed. It's definitely driven by greed. When it's from a fan's point of view, they're like, just sign these guys already so we can get on with our sport and know who we're rooting for this year.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I was listening to Sirius Baseball Channel, whatever that is. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys was saying, like, oh, you know, all these, you know, the fans are fine sitting and waiting. But as soon as the Red Sox don't sign J.D. Martinez, they're going to say, oh, now the Red Sox are being cheap. And I don't think so. I think the fan bases have adjusted. Mm-hmm. I think that a fan base knows too many fan bases have been stuck with a $30 million unusable contract or $25 million. Like, enough fan bases either have had it or have seen it, you know, firsthand, you know, or secondhand. You know, like, you look at a Josh Hamilton and you look at Jacoby Ellsbury. You know, Jacoby Ellsbury has 3 more years with the Yankees.
Right. As a bench player making
$65 million
a year. Or $65 million total in the 3 years, something like that.
It's so crazy. But that's, you know, that's why the Red Sox wouldn't sign him for 7 years. And so when you look at that and you think, well, that was a player basically the same place as J.D. Martinez, but also had some outfield ability.
Yeah,
like why should the Red Sox pay for 7 years?
I'm a fan of paying Martinez. Like in basketball and football. I don't know about hockey or soccer for that matter, where you're paying players for their value at the front end. And I think we're starting to see a little bit of a shift to that, where we're seeing players sign not necessarily for the big deals, but you're seeing some players lock in for a 5 year deal. For 20 or 15 to 20, not, you know, the exorbitant ones. And they're good deals because you're getting that value out of them at a younger age. That makes sense to me. Not paying a player's like, well, you know, I got paid nothing for the first 5-6 years of my tenure. Therefore, I need that end of my playing days, big contract where I'm going to be nowhere near as productive as I was in the first 5-6 years. That's completely backwards, unless it's the team that they had them in the first 5 years. Like if the Cardinals wanted to pay Pujols that big deal, it made sense for them to do that because the value is then spread out over the course of the entire tenure. But then the Angels sign them and get kind of stuck with, you know, the end of career Pujols, which is nowhere near as good.
Yeah.
We've talked about this.
They've got to find a way, I think, to kick a little bit more money down to players now that players are coming in younger.
And having an impact immediately.
And, you know, I mean, you're seeing the arbitration numbers.
Yeah.
The first year are like Mookie Betts with $10.5 million, which would have been record-setting if not for Chris Bryant's $10.75 million.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're seeing higher numbers there.
Which is good.
And I think, which is good, but I still think like maybe you can raise the league minimum, you know, and then you don't want to do something where you like then wind up boxing out a team like, you
right.
know, Oakland
no, I agree.
Or
I agree
Tampa. Anyway. So what else?
We have plenty
do we have
of
any more, do we have any more baseball the other thing that was weird was the MLB Players Association chimed in with saying that they felt it was not okay for teams to tank, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And like, well, they're not trying to field a competitive team, but like the one thing that these teams have figured out was so stupid about this Players Association comment is the one thing the teams have figured out is if you try to win everything every year, you will lose everything every year.
Right.
But yep. if you build for the future and you plan like, you know, are all teams doing that? Should the Pirates have pushed in a couple years ago? Absolutely. I felt it was a mistake then. I feel it was a mistake now. It's easy to look back and say it was a mistake, but it's easier for me because I knew it was a mistake at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these teams, you know, are so used to just like, oh, well, yeah, no, we'll go get Eric Hosmer. Like, okay, great. But you're now a 77 win team instead of 73.
Right.
So who cares?
Yeah.
Fans but don't care.
Some do. I mean, some fans do. I mean, the younger fans, and that's one of the things that baseball has changed so much since when I was a kid. When I was a kid, you rooted for a team and you rooted for a player, and that player played for the team his entire career.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen anymore. You know, kids break down in tears and cry when their favorite player leaves town. And I don't think anybody cares about that other than the kids and their parents. But, you know, that era is gone where that loyalty existed between fan bases and individual players. It's more about, you know, are they performing? Who wants to root for a team that every year is mediocre?
Right.
You know, people are like, well, I want to root for the teams. I want to root for the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Cubs now. Because they're all, every year, they're competing.
And you know what? I root for all of them, John.
I root for the winners. I'm a front runner.
I feel that makes me a more selective baseball fan.
Yeah, it's like, who wants to root for a lousy team? I have to raise my hand because I'll be cheering the Marlins on to do that
rebuild.
That's,
you know what, that's the beauty,
back.
Though. Like, I was rooting for the Red Sox, you know, through the 80s and right on up to 2004. And I would have rather they won World Series, but it wasn't like, it didn't change the sport that they were awful.
No, and then for Red Sox fans, you know, too, you have
galvanizing it. It makes you feel like
you're part of a long term project to get over the hump, and when you get there, it makes it all that much sweeter.
And really, it's really appropriate right now that Cleveland be the team that's gone the longest without a World Series championship. Right. I feel like that's really appropriate. What with the Browns and Cleveland,
right? Cleveland, period.
Just the Clevelandness, like the river that caught fire. Like,
right.
I feel like it's really
steak
appropriate.
On the lake.
Yeah.
Did you? I noticed.
Now, the Cavaliers thing, whatever they won, and that was an incredible comeback against the Warriors. But does that really even count?
Well, I noticed that the Cavaliers are one of their alternate jerseys says the land on it. So I guess that's they're kind of referring to. They're leaving out the C-L-E-V-E, and it's now we're just calling them the land. Not Cleveland, but the land. Mm. I've never, ever heard that before.
That's weird. Yeah.
Crazy.
Isn't what Cleve is Cliff, right?
Cliff? Cleve?
Isn't that the...
Oh, from Cheers?
No.
Or what? Hmm?
Like the derivation of Cleveland.
Oh, is it? The cliff?
Cliffland. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Might be true.
Entomology. Look at that. We're learning things here.
Yeah.
So we got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about here. So you want to kind of go through some more of these? One of them, another big signing, Todd Frazier.
You know, Todd Frazier with the bargain basement.
From the Bronx to Flushing.
Yeah.
Just wants to stay. I think he's from New Jersey, so he wanted to stay in the area. So took a deal with the Mets.
He was super stoked.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, the Mets are kind of putting something together.
Yeah, they're looking for some...
That's an improvement offensively and defensively at third base for them.
And if they get the pitching comes back and his healthy a big question mark right now?
Well, let's just assume it's mostly healthy throughout the year, right?
Right. They're.
What else do they need? They need Conforto to come back. They still have that weird outfield with the all the
and they still don't know who's playing second, third, and short. Well, now they know third, definitely Frazier, and I guess Cabrera now moves to second.
Oh, I don't
know. Reyes last time is short. I don't even know who.
I think they're going to try to grab one of these second basemen. There's like three second basemen available. Not to mention Starlin Castro, who could probably be had for
right nothing.
You know, the cost.
Yeah, but the Mets, if the pitching comes back,
they're... from the Marlins, listeners, Starlin Castro could be had for cost from the Marlins because they're having financial
trouble. Right. Yeah. So the but the big news with that though is that the least talked about big free agent now has one less team to sign with, and that's Mike Moustakas. No one's talking about him.
God, it's so weird.
Nobody. Where's he going?
You know, I saw. Gosh, someone suggested. I apologize to the writer who suggested this. It was a very good idea. They said the Red Sox should just go sign Moustakas.
As DH?
Third base. And then move Devers to first base DH.
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
That to me, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Than going all in on J.D. Martinez. Who now the word's coming out is he's Boris is now talking again with the D-backs and... the word out is that J.D. Martinez loved that team or still loves that team, loves the energy there, loves playing for Arizona.
So let's translate that for the people at home. The Diamondbacks have no interest, and Scott Boras is trying to push the Red Sox to pay more money.
Could be.
Because their offer from a month ago hasn't budged. Because no one else needs J.D. Martinez. And look, I feel bad for J.D. Martinez. Wouldn't it be awesome if there were three teams that needed like a slugger like that?
Yeah, it's tough when you're in that position. It's like nobody wants me. It must be hard for these players.
It's a weird marketplace, dude. So what? You're going to be a multimillionaire. You're going to get a nine-figure deal. Nine figures, John. It's going to be at least $100 million.
Well, the other
Who
name
cares if it's 100 or 120? Does that even matter?
The other name that floated up this week for the Red Sox is Logan Morrison.
Right.
So, very inexpensive bat, and his bat will play well in Fenway. So, you know, is that something that they would be willing to do for, you know, he would probably get a 2-year deal, 3-year deal, maybe?
Yeah, probably 2-year, but is he really going to be much more than Todd Frazier?
No.
You know? I mean, Todd Frazier is good on defense, too. Am I being a little lispy?
A little bit.
Jesus, goddamn these allergies. Pardon my vulgarities.
So let's see what else we got. Player stuff. We talked about that. Let's see.
Chief Wahoo, buddy.
Chief Wahoo. Yeah, finally. Chief Wahoo,
they're kicking him off the reservation. That's so awful.
Finally.
I'm trying to figure out if that's a racist joke.
Finally, we were getting to a point where this is being addressed. I understand the offensiveness of it, but I don't think that it. I mean, I'm just old school in that sense that it's just a logo. It's not a. I mean, if you look back historically, it's sports in high schools, and my high school was the Newtown Indians, and we didn't have a ridiculous Indian head logo, you know, jokingly. But 10, 15 years ago, they're now the Newtown Nighthawks,
right?
So they just dropped the name.
Wait,
so.
Nighthawk like the Stallone movie?
I don't know. I think it's a bird related thing as opposed to a. A Stallone-related thing, but I don't know how they came up with that, but they were sensitive to the issue.
Goddamn, you know what? I pulled this out of my rotting brain. 1981 Nighthawks.
That's good.
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone.
That must have been a post-Rocky movie after Rocky II.
Yeah.
He's riding the wave.
Fresh from mounting a devastating bomb attack in London, an international terrorist arrives in New York. And remains intent upon wreaking further havoc. His preparation is clinical and thorough, but he overlooks one thing, the grit and steely determination of one New York cop.
Nighthawk. Coming soon Nighthawks, to a theater near you.
Coming to the theater, starring Sylvester Stallone. He's a Nighthawk, and he's with other guys, and they're Nighthawks.
Boy, This allergy thing is good. It's good comedy. Let's see. The other thing, too.
Available for $3.99 on Amazon, by the way.
Wow. That's a ripoff.
Yeah. This show brought to you by Nighthawks on DVD. Sony Entertainment, proud to present Nighthawks.
So let's see what else we got here. I'm not a big fan of this. I think we talked a little bit about this a few weeks back, is the extending the netting. And all teams now are doing that for 2018 to the end of the dugouts. And if I had season tickets, I would say, move me to a part of the stadium where that's not obstructing my view.
You can do that easily with season tickets, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
No, but I just...
Do you have season tickets, John?
I used to. I had season tickets for the Marlins for 15
Maybe you
years.
Didn't hear me clearly because of my allergies. Do you have?
No, I do not.
Okay, good. All right.
But I just hate... sitting behind home plate is cool, but I do not like looking through the screen. That's just my personal preference. I'd rather sit just to the left or right of the screen. Used to do that at spring training games, and I never got hit by a foul ball. Because I was alert and paying attention.
Here's the problem, though, John. I kind of agree with you, right? Like, I think the way they have it is fine. However, so many people now are in their phones,
right?
And they're distracted, and they're at a game, and they're not watching the game in the way that we used to. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to accommodate for that. I think you have to accommodate for there being stupid people out there.
Okay, from that point of view, I would agree.
Yeah.
The game is changing.
This is why there are guardrails on freeways, John.
Right. The game is changing, or the viewing is changing because the
society
habits of the
is
fans,
changing.
Right. They're not as tuned in as they used to
be.
Yeah. And we've had this conversation before, too. I hate going to a game where a gaggle of people behind me or in front of me are more interested in catching up than watching the game.
Right. Yeah. Go to the bar, you know? Go to the lounge area or whatever, or go hang out, you know. Go home. Right. Go set yourself on fire.
Right.
Just don't be near me.
I was at a game in Seattle last season, and there was a guy sitting next to me, and we wound up chatting a little bit. And he's like, I'm not a big baseball fan, but they were playing, I think, Toronto, and they came down from Canada to watch a game. So, he was into it just because his friends wanted to go, but he had really no desire to cheer for a team. He just was there to talk.
So yeah.
Why come all the way down from Toronto or from Vancouver to, spend money on traveling down overnight, ticket, beer, all that just to sit and talk with your friends when you could have watched the game on TV at a bar in Vancouver and done the same thing?
Yeah. Or you could have just stayed at home naked, covered in Vaseline and just Skyped.
Right. That's funny. That's good. But I think the...
Speaking of covered in Vaseline... Marlins fired the man who plays the team mascot, Billy the Martin.
For using Vaseline?
Marlin. I don't know. I just figured he's probably really sweaty in there.
10-year veteran of the Billy the Marlin costume axed.
The Jeter Rain has no
apparent reason. There was no reason given.
Yeah.
I guess Jeter just wants his guy in the
You know
Marlin
who's going to be in there?
Who?
Jeter.
No, I think it's going to be A-Rod.
Jeter's going to be in there, and he's going to be, hitting on the chicks. No. It doesn't count. Look, it doesn't count as cheating if I'm dressed up as Billy the Marlin.
Right. And he's got that long Billy the Marlin bill that'll be poking women with.
Yeah, because you know Jeter is a furry.
It's part of the gift basket.
I would feel better, John, if I had made these joke notes earlier and was just doing them now, I would be less scared about my mental well-being.
Now, it's unfortunate that the Billy the Marlin firing came before they ripped that monstrosity out of center field. I'm just counting down the days when that happens. But did you see the big news that came out of Marlinville earlier this week, was that Charlie Huff was present for the 25th anniversary logo unveiling. And the 25th anniversary logo is a throwback to the old Florida Marlins logo with the teal and black and even the same Marlin. So that seems like a little jab to Loria's, like, yeah, your silly color scheme is not traditional, and I'm a traditional pinstriper. So here we are. The old style logo is going to represent on the 20th 25th anniversary.
Oh, that does look nice.
It is. It's very nice. I like it. I love the old Marlins uniforms.
Yeah.
I like the logo. I liked everything about it. I'm not a huge fan of their current scheme, although it's kind of, I've gotten used to it 7-8 years into it, 6 years, into it, 6 years into it. So, yeah, but I thought that was cool. And it was cool that Charlie Huff was there to be a part of it. I was at that game opening day, 1993, against the
Charlie
Dodgers.
Huff. Knuckleballer.
Yeah. First pitch was a strike. Struck out the first batter.
Oh, yeah?
Remember it like it was yesterday. As a Dodger fan, you don't remember that?
No, sorry. I don't remember the meaningless opening game of another team's.
Yeah,
Charlie Huff, though. I remember him.
Let's see. Bobby Bonds. Jeez, really? Barry Bonds.
Now who's got allergies?
Yeah, jeez. And Alzheimer's. His number 25 is going to be retired by the Giants in August. I guess now that he's getting up above the 55% mark in the Hall of Fame voting, he's relevant again.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I read somewhere that they were going to wait till he was elected, but they're trying to sort of like kind of push it along a little bit here. Like, hey, everybody, it's okay. And to me, like, yes, of course you retire his number. And the cool thing is they're going to retire the number in August against the Pirates.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
That's a classy move. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, look, everyone hates him, and that's fine. But it is impossible to explain how freakishly amazing he was as a hitter.
Yeah.
A great fielder, too, for many years. But in just the later years, just it was incredible how hard he could hit the ball, how good an eye he had, yes, how many walks he took.
Selective.
Absurd. So selective.
Yeah, great.
Terrifying.
I just all you have to do is go back and look at any footage of him pre-steroids to see the talent that he was. He was a five-tool player by far.
Yeah.
One of the best. You know, he and Griffey were the two best players in baseball in the mid-90s, right, by far.
Yeah.
Speaking of players that we used to talk about in a good light, Tim Lincecum trying to make another comeback. I think we talked about this about a month ago when that photo came out of him all ripped in the workout room.
Yeah.
But he's what's the organization that he's been working with?
A Driveline, right?
Driveline, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're all excited and hyping his showcase, which is coming up, I think, next week, right?
I think so, yeah. It's mid-teens, right? Mid-teens of February.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day.
Ooh.
Maybe.
But the last time he did a showcase, I think it was a year ago, didn't go well.
Yeah, he was awful, and the Angels still signed him.
And he recorded, a 6.7 ERA in his...
Well, he actually did well in the minor leagues, or well enough, a 3.5 ERA, 3.7. A lot of walks. And then when he got to the majors, it was just a disaster.
Yeah.
Big part of why the Angels didn't make the playoffs, by the way.
Is Tim Lincecum?
Well, so not so much Tim Lincecum, but yes, Tim Lincecum. But also just the fact that they had to go to a Tim Lincecum.
Right.
Just shows you where
that pitching shallow the well was.
Yeah.
So another debut. Joe Girardi showcased on MLB Network as their newest analyst. And he's good. I mean, he's just great in the studio. Good analyst. He knows his stuff. I don't know if you had a chance to see anything.
I can't stand him.
Can't stand him? Really?
I just think he's so unfriendly. And look, yes, he's so knowledgeable, and it's hilarious that he's bringing his binders to MLB Network. Can I read more articles about this hilarious take?
Yeah, I guess you don't like him too much, huh?
I just don't think he's a nice person. He doesn't come across as nice. But maybe I just hate people who are like New York guys anyway, even though I live in New York.
He did play for the Yankees. He played for the Cubs.
Yeah.
That's where he got his start, was with the Cubs.
Yeah. No, he's a solid player.
Yeah, he was a great player.
Heck of a manager for the Marlins. Helped the Yankees.
Manager of the year with the Marlins and got fired for it.
Yeah, perfect.
That's great.
He's just one of those.
And that's something that you and Jeffrey Loria have in common.
Yeah.
You just did not like him.
I will say, if he was managing my baseball team and he got manager of the year and he I wouldn't fire him.
No.
I just wouldn't hire him to be a TV personality.
But he's I watched the one of the shows this week and he was great.
Yeah, sure, John.
Have you seen him?
Saw clips, and I'm telling you, he's just insufferable.
You saw the clips. Someone put together a YouTube video of the cold Joe Girardi, and you're like, see, there he is. He's being cold. Let's see. What else? MLB, what is this, recording dugout phone conversations to eliminate sign stealing? That's a new thing. They're eavesdropping?
Yeah, that's – I don't remember putting that on this list.
Do they have a FISA warrant for that?
Yeah, Obama approved these recordings. It's an act of treason, John.
It is. You didn't stand up and clap for me. Treasonous.
I mean, let's be honest. All that stuff's a little shady, Mr. Obama.
And I did, sir. You know, I kind of rained on your comment earlier when I said you didn't say your name right because you said this is the post-shutdown show. And
yeah,
it is.
The mini-shutdown.
So we survived the night.
Yeah.
Things are all rosy
surprised.
Again.
I was surprised. I killed two hobos last night, but I got it in the window.
The purge?
Yeah. I got it in the window. As soon as the government shut down, I was like, good. No more rules for a little while. Killed two hobos. But then I was like, wait a second. Let me just check Twitter to see if they...
Is there a statute of limitations on that?
No, there's no nothing.
Yeah, you're good. It's clean.
During the shutdown, the government doesn't exist.
Right. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
All I heard is that Paul Rand was the stick in the mud. I was too busy yesterday.
Yeah, I saw something about that. I mean, he's lobbying against increasing the debt, right? Like,
And I get
this
that.
Is like the
that
biggest
sense.
Problem the country has is you can't solve everything by borrowing.
Right. So let's spend more money that we don't have. That's the solution. Yeah.
But this is a solution from both sides of the aisle. So it's not like, oh, these Republicans don't know anything about how to handle debt.
No, it is. It's
always been that way. Yeah.
Bipartisanship requires screwing the long-term fiscal responsibility of the country.
Yeah.
Because we're going to get
it
done now.
You could easily shave the budget down. You just have to cut some people off. That's it. Like, you just have to go through and find the things that we don't really need to keep paying for.
Like Social Security.
What? No, John. I'm talking about, like, monkey tests to see if...
Oh, I know, but that's...
Blankety blank.
But some of these programs are on the table. Yeah. Now that we've passed this cut, this tax cut, we got to figure out how we're going to pay for it. So what's cut? What's going to be cut on the back end?
Yeah.
So this is the same old, same old. It's been going on for hundreds of years. So nothing new.
Anyway, but it's
got better things to talk about. You know?
Do we? What else?
I think we do. Oh, this is very important. The Major League Baseball wants to add runners in the 11th inning of an All-Star game in a pace of play idea. That's absolutely ludicrous.
For the All-Star game, though, aren't you kind of okay with it? Because I'm kind of okay with it for the All-Star game.
If they're going to do that, so don't do it in the 11th inning, because you have to get to the 11th inning to do it. Right?
Ooh, you're talking about doing it in the 5th inning.
If you're going to do something like that, do it earlier. Put the have our pinball idea from 2 years ago. Let's do that. Let's make it fun. No, the colors, color areas, and if the ball lands in an area, bells go off, and points scored, and the fans can have a chance to win based on the pinball effect. That would be fun. And do it,
John. What you're talking about is going to double their ratings.
It would. It would be awesome. I think people would definitely enjoy that. And how seriously do we take the home run derby is the best part of the All-Star game.
Is it?
The All-Star game festivities. Even the game that matters is the Futures game because those players are hungry. Yeah.
That's where all my interest is. And that's usually the Sunday before the break.
Right.
The Futures game.
Yeah. But to me, those events are more entertaining than the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Unless you have
sometimes
somebody
the All-Star
like,
game is good.
Unless you have Randy Johnson, ear buzzing. John Kruk.
Yeah.
Or who was the other
or
guy?
Or Atlee Hammaker grooving fastballs to Henry Aaron. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just trying to throw old names around since.
Well, the one memorable was the home run, Cal Ripken home run in the All-Star game.
Yes. That was Chan awesome. Ho Park with his trademark fastball down the middle of the plate.
Right. So there's Barry been some Bonds great
get
moments.
To 78 home runs.
There definitely are some moments in the All-Star game, but I used to like the All-Star game as a kid. As an adult now, it's not as compelling. I'd much prefer to watch the home run derby. And a bingo / pinball style All-Star game would be cool.
Yeah, I think the problem with putting the runner on second earlier than the 11th or earlier than the before the extra innings is it's as a pace of play thing, you wouldn't actually be slowing the game down or speeding the game up by putting it in the regular game.
Yeah.
You would be increasing scoring, John.
Right, I agree.
So if you're looking to increase scoring, that's a thing. But I think you start it in the 10th. I think like you go extra innings, it's the 10th.
Yeah, do it right away. I would agree with that. Don't wait.
Like, why the 11th? Who cares?
Yeah, but why the 11th? That just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
weird.
Well, maybe they're thinking, well, we'll give them one inning to figure it out in extra innings, but we got to get off the air because no one really cares.
Right. Yeah, it's 1 a.m. in the East Coast. Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah.
So another kind of weird thing out of Major League Baseball, commissioner proposes to the union that there will be no pitch clock in 2018. So you got your way. You kicked and screamed. You got your way. But if you can get games below 2 hours and 55 minutes or less, there will be no pitch clock in 2019 either. Do you think the players care?
Well, they cared enough to kick and scream, so maybe the union will get together and be like, "Hey!" But I think this was a smart move by the league.
I just don't see the players getting together to say, "Hey, let's do our best to get under 255."
Yeah, well, they can't get together about anything, so I don't. I completely agree with you.
I've seen players talk about how disruptive a pitch. These are talking heads that have been retired have talked about. Well, my pre-pitch routine. Is an important part of my approach to hitting. And if I have to speed it up or eliminate certain things about it, you know, I'm just going to do my thing. It's like, really? That's a big part of your game is how many times you wrap and unwrap your batting gloves?
It's important, John.
Is it? Change it.
It could save a life.
Let's move on to starting
nine.
Athletes
are dumb, all right? Let's be honest. They're dumb.
They get
if they
a
were
lot
smart,
of money,
they'd be doing podcasts.
Right, like us. And take, you know, ripping players and organizations. And
at home, nude, covered in Vaseline.
Despite their allergies.
Yeah, I'll soldier through it. I'll play through the pain.
So let's move on to starting nine. This is a week delayed.
Yes.
Your category.
I did this last week before we decided not to record last week, and I thought, you know what? We're going to do this one this week anyway, because who gives a F?
So, what's the topic?
So, we got the Grammys.
Yay!
Do you remember the Grammys so many weeks ago? Well, it was just a week and a half ago. But a lot of great, I don't know.
People?
Music, maybe? People? Not really. All that music's mostly trash.
A lot of great costumes.
Starting night, a lot of great costumes, John. I'm going to give you that one.
So what do you got?
Nine best players or players have to do with Grammy-nominated, Grammy winners.
Okay, winners, not
baseball
just nominated.
Players with Grammy winners names. All right, so we're going to start off with something really easy. Howie Kendrick Lamar.
Very easy. Nice.
Right?
Yes.
J. Bruce No Mars. Big winner. Bruce No Mars.
Bruce No Mars. Took home a boatload, right?
Yeah. Big boat and a big load. Ed Sheer Randall Grichuk.
Okay.
Lin-Manuel Ariel Miranda.
That's good.
Portugal, the Alex Bregman.
Wow. I know all these names so far, so that's good.
I don't know this one, so forgive me if I mess up her name. Alessia Carlos Cara? I don't know. That one's stupid.
I don't even know who she is.
Alessia so. Cara? Alessia Cara? I'm trying to do Carlos Correa.
I got it.
No. Anyway.
Got that part.
LCD Gordon Sound System?
Good.
the National Albert Pujols.
Good. That's a, that was a clever way to kind of work that in.
Yeah. And the then Albert. We got another super clever one here for the band Mastodon, Josh Mastodonaldson.
Where's Sinchu Chu?
You know what? I didn't want to do Portugal the Man for him again.
Uh-huh.
Because I felt like that was cheating, John.
To go back.
And sometimes the hit streak just comes to an end.
So now we retired Devin Travis. We retire Shinsu Chu. So we got to find somebody else who's going to pick up the torch.
Maybe Bregman. I got kind of a sports boner for Alex Bregman. I got so much of a sports boner for Alex Bregman. I traded away the Red Sox shortstop that I have on my fantasy baseball team to make room for Alex Bregman.
Wow.
I don't know. Something about him.
Yeah, he's one of those gym rats, baseball rats that just, you know, eats, drinks, and sleeps baseball.
Yeah, I'm kind of a little excited about him this year. I think this is going to be like a big year for him.
He's got a little bit of a Pete Rose attitude, but he plays hard-nosed baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good, and I'm going to let you know about it type of player.
Yeah.
Little ego. Let's move on to extra innings then.
Yeah.
We'll wrap this thing up.
Let's
Have you recovered from the Super Bowl?
I'm going to tell you honestly, John, I went and saw The Shape of Water.
Did you really?
And yeah, instead of watching the Super Bowl.
What did you think?
I thought it was a good movie. It was a weird movie. I'm not used to, spoiler alert, seeing humans have sex with fish. Not since The Incredible Mr. Limpet.
I don't think there's any sex in that.
There's John implied Knox. Sex. You remember that sound?
Boy, that brings me way back.
The Incredible Mr. Limpet, a little flashback for everyone.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah, it was. I'll tell you what, though, it was a good game. There was no defense, which made it kind of fun. One punt.
Yeah.
Just a track meet.
It really just kind of came down to the end where Brady got strip sacked, right? And then if he hadn't got strip sacked, they probably would have won. They probably would have marched down the field and won.
And they, you know, they came awfully close to converting the Hail Mary. You know, it was like one tip away.
Well, I remember I said before the game, bet on the Eagles for the first half.
Mm-hmm.
I said, put all your money on that. And one of us in this conversation did that.
And you made money.
And we made money. Because I just knew that here's the thing. How am I supposed to care about this Super Bowl as a Patriots fan? Like, they've won 5 in the last 15 years. What? And they won last year when they shouldn't have won. They were down 28-3. They shouldn't have won.
Well, they shouldn't have won against the Seahawks. Too, yeah.
They shouldn't have won that. I mean, granted, yes, there are also fluke catches that have been in play here. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like, wow. And I saw at the very beginning of the game, we caught part of the first quarter, there was a couple of incredible catches by the Nick Foles chucking the ball down the field and the wide receiver reaching back behind him and catching. Like, okay, so this is what the kind of game is going to be. That's fine. We already had our tickets. We're just going to go.
So did you watch a replay or just kind of?
Yeah, no, I saw the highlights.
Okay.
I saw the highlights, yeah. But, you know, it's just like it's hard to get. Like, who cares if they win or lose? I mean, it's great for the sport.
Yeah, I like having the
but
Patriots
they haven't
in
done one of those like Cowboys
out.
Bills blowouts where it's like 55-17 or whatever.
They haven't had anything like that. And I think everybody thought going into this game that this was going to be the year that they would do that. And that, you know, the Eagles came out. It just is amazing to me that Foles was kind of looked at as a goat. Going into the playoffs, and that the Eagles had no chance. They were the number one seed, best record in the NFC, and they were underdogs in every game they played in the playoffs.
Right,
which is bizarre.
And Foles has always been a good quarterback.
Yeah, he's been it's
not great.
Yeah, but he's been a I would say above average. It's streaky. It's kind of hard when you're the starter. You're not. You're the starter. You're not.
Yeah.
But he played well the last three games.
You look at the highlights, and it's just like it looked like the Patriots' defense just didn't really care. And again, it's not like they didn't care. It's just at that level, it's such a fine line between a team who really wants it and a team that doesn't. And you can just see that they just didn't really want it. I mean, Tom Brady did, by the numbers, the best Super Bowl performance in the history.
Right.
Of the sport. So that's great. But that hit that knocked out
the phone?
The wide receiver.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Which should have been a penalty. On the same play, Brady was speared by the defender. And no penalties are called. And there was a lot of no penalties getting called in this game.
The Patriots had one penalty called the entire game. I think they only – and against the
You're thinking of the Jacksonville game.
No, they did it. And they had two decline penalties. I think they only had one. Yeah.
Yeah, it was – anyway, so maybe that was like a league mandate, like, you know, stuff in your pocket.
We've mentioned this before, too, is that there's a penalty on every single play in the NFL. It's just a matter of what is considered severe. And I like that the officials let them play the game. You know, it's like, unless you do something that's really over the top, you're not going to get flagged. I'd prefer not a ton of flags.
You mean like helmet-to-helmet collision in midfield?
Yeah, those are good. No, but that was where he was established as a runner. And once you're established as a runner, all bets are off on the helmet-to-helmet.
No, that's not true.
Yes, it is.
Helmet to helmet is helmet to helmet.
Not if you're a runner. If you're a defenseless receiver, yes. But if you turn into a runner, it's a whole different story. That's why running backs can be going down the field, and when they decide to launch their helmet into another player, that's okay. It's weird. The rules are weird. They're to protect you when you're defenseless, but other times, hey, knock yourselves out. Go ahead. It's okay. It's crazy. But it was a good game. I found it entertaining. It came down to the... you know, the final play again, and, you know, it's just good entertainment all the way through. And, you know, if you're a fan, kind of rough. But speaking of rough, the Colts were kind of left out in the cold there a little bit. Josh McDaniels all of a sudden decides that after the Krafts and Belichick said, hey, you know what? We're going to sweeten the deal. Would you like to be the next coach?
Yes.
And that's smart. I give them a lot of credit.
Well, that's what the rumor is, right? The rumor is that he was headed out the door, and he was definitely headed out the door.
Yeah.
Like, the Colts accepted had scheduled it. A press conference.
Right, yeah.
With him, and not like with a coach to be named.
Right,
but with
they
him.
Knew who it was. Yeah. And the GM said he apologized to the fan base, saying the deal wasn't signed yet, and I should have kept my mouth shut as to...
Yeah.
He says, but, you know.
Typical Colts, though. F those guys. F those guys. Deflate gate this.
Yeah, but McDaniels didn't get a promise for being the next coach. What he got was a bigger payday and inclusion into decisions on draft day and salary structure, which is kind of an indicator that, you know, he's being groomed.
It does seem to indicate that.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with it. I mean, when, you know... somebody makes a better offer.
Yeah.
You have an opportunity to do that. Do it.
Plus it's like a better offer from the team that
he's familiar with.
And you get to screw over the Colts.
Right. Well, some people were saying that was the main reason why the Krafts did it, to get back at the Colts.
I mean, honestly, it's reason enough. What financial worth is that to you? $5-10 million. If you're that rich.
Yeah. It's
easily $5-10 million.
Yeah. It's like, got him punked. So, former New England quarterback and the future of the New England Patriots, now
an all-around handsome gentleman,
very attractive man, undefeated as a starter in his NFL career, signed the biggest contract in the history of the NFL.
Yes,
that's pretty good.
Yes,
Jimmy Garoppolo.
He has started how many games? 10 games? 8 games?
No, I don't even think it's that many. He started
He did 4 for the Patriots.
I don't think it was that many. He did 3 and he got hurt. And then Jacoby, whatever his name, came in for 1. So he got hurt.
Oh, okay.
So he did 3, and then Jacoby did 1.
Okay.
And then he came and he's done 4, so 7 games? Yeah, 6-7 games. And he's won every one as a starter. Yeah. He's undefeated.
Yeah.
He's worth every penny.
And did I mention that he's a handsome gentleman?
He is a handsome gentleman.
Maybe part of the contract includes like a modeling thing as well.
Could.
We should all be so lucky.
Could. I didn't see the details on the numbers. What is his annual salary now?
I don't know what the annual is, but the total is $130 million or something like that.
So he surpassed Carr, right? Derek Carr?
Yeah.
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 Who really proved his value last year. But we got Gruden now. I'm a Raiders fan, so I'm excited that the Raiders may get back on the beam finally.
Yeah. On the Jim Beam.
Oh, another big, this is a baseball football news, big trade.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson traded from the Rangers to the Yankees.
Finally, a good quarterback in New York.
He said he always wanted to play for the Yankees, so the Yankees made it happen. So he'll be at spring training this year with the Yankees because he just likes to be in the limelight and have some fun.
Hey, it's nice to be rich.
It is nice to have that kind of money.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we've got.
Plus, you know, they're going to be like, the Yankees are like, oh, you want to come and do spring training and help us sell extra tickets? Great.
Come on down.
Come on down, buddy.
You're more than welcome. I think the Yankees have quite a few incentives for people to come out to spring training this year. They've done well.
Yeah. Yeah. But to be clear, Russell Wilson will never be a Major League Baseball player.
No.
Okay, good. Not I want to make sure we understand that. This is a baseball podcast worth mentioning.
Worth mentioning. PR move. So, speaking of this being a baseball podcast, the Cavaliers yesterday completely blew up their roster, and analysts are now saying that, oh, they're now a stronger team and look out Warriors. I'm like scratching my head going, really?
Yeah.
Their chemistry is going to be there overnight?
Yeah.
I'm
not so sure that's how basketball works.
No, I think the winner in all of this is the Lakers, by far.
Lakers!
By far. Clearing cap space. There's really good chances that James will be playing for the Lakers next year.
Yeah, with Paul George.
Right. That's going to be, you know, they've been waiting, patiently waiting.
Yeah.
And that was weird though. They're a mediocre team right now, and I don't know that, you know, completely. I mean, what, they traded like 7 players?
Yeah. Like, crazy. Just everyone.
Yeah, everyone's gone.
I mean, except for what's his name, right? The big white guy. I don't remember his name.
I don't. Token white.
No, he's really good. He's played for UCLA.
Love.
What's
Love.
Name? Right. Yeah. Kevin Love.
Kevin Love. Yes. The Lovester. But he's hurt though, isn't he?
I don't know.
I don't follow the Cavaliers.
Honestly, I haven't been following basketball that much for the last, I know, since I stopped writing for Yahoo, I just kind of like.
But you will pick it up when Showtime's back in LA, right?
No, probably not.
No.
Probably not. John, I got so much crap going on. I just can't even. It's just too much. Plus, now my parents are Warriors fans, and I don't even know what to do with that.
Do they live up in the Bay Area? No, they live in LA.
No, they live in Pasadena.
So they jumped the Clippers and Lakers bandwagon? And
I think my dad's from New England, so he can't like the Lakers, right?
Right, yeah, that's illegal.
And so I don't know. Maybe he just was like, maybe they're just like, they just liked watching them play, which, hey, that's fine.
Yeah,
I guess.
They're fun.
It's weird.
I kind of adopted them as my team that I root for because they're just fun to watch. And I like Steph Curry. He's an underdog. And he's definitely,
they're into it, though.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Like,
the fans
no,
are
I'm talking about my parents.
Oh, they're into it. Yeah, that's great.
They are into it.
Like, do they have gear?
You know, I don't think they have gear. What a great idea. Yeah, I should get my mom.
There you go.
Gear.
You're
that's
all set for
idea.
Valentine's Day.
That is so weird, John.
So let's say we talked about the Winter Olympics a little bit.
Yeah.
And so we're good there. And yeah.
So at one point I did know the Winter Olympics were coming because I wrote it on there.
So the big
I
news.
I didn't know that they had started.
They started yesterday. And
okay. I didn't know that either.
The big news is
for the last hour I've been thinking they started today.
All the hype was for Chen, the U.S. Men's skater, was just going to dominate because he's the first man ever to do 5 quads in a competition. And he fell down twice last night in the team competition. And everyone was like, it's like breath was sucked out of the arena because.
Hold on a second, John. There's so much information here that you're giving me that I need to process. Team competition?
There's team. It started with in Sochi. I completely forgot about it. So you have one.
Ice skating teams?
Yeah, so you have a male.
Is it like Ultimate Frisbee?
It's. Male, one, the I guess the individual male, individual female, pairs and ice dancing compete together.
Okay. At the same time.
Not at the same no, they're not all out on the ice. That's hockey. No, but they accumulate scores. So there's 10 teams that play.
So
each
wait
other.
A minute, hold on a second. So not only do they have ice, so then they have separate individual competitions for these people?
It's like the gymnastics all around in the team. So you have
I'm sorry, John. Do you know who you're talking to here? What do you mean it's like gymnastics? I don't know anything about that.
So gymnastics has team competition, and then they have individual. And then they have the all around.
And so they don't just accumulate all the individual scores? They could.
That would make more sense that you'd gave it out based on the performance at the end of the competition. But no, they have a whole separate competition where you skate just for the team competition.
I see.
So the top 10
teams. Must be
teams,
for ratings, right? Or something like that?
Must be, because the top 10 teams compete. They do a short program and a long program. I know I'm giving you a lot of information.
Holy moly.
And then after the short programs are completed, the top six teams compete for the, I think it's the top six.
I'll be watching curling.
I was watching that last night. My wife was like, this is the stupidest sport on the planet.
It's a weird little sport, isn't it?
It's fun, though. I think it's fun. It's highly talented, though.
I think it's a great sport to have on, like, the television, but just not actually watching it.
Oh, I don't know if I would pay to go and see curling. I don't think that would ever happen.
Oh, yeah. But just like to have it on the background, like you're doing other stuff and you look over and like, hey, there's a guy throwing one of those tea kettles.
Stones.
Okay, stones. Look at you with the lingo.
Yeah, no, I've got my favorites picked out and I've got it scheduled all highlighted.
You got a fantasy curling team?
So last but not least on the list, the big movie coming out next week, Black Panther. Are you all in?
Here's the thing. I want to be, because I do like superhero movies, but I find that they're about 50-50 for me, right? But I feel like all the hype around this movie is going to make it so I can't watch it. Like all the Wonder Woman hype about like, oh, this is empowering for women and we've never had a woman presented this way, and now it's like, oh, we've never had a black superhero. And like, well, okay, first of all, Meteor Man, hello, Hancock, anyone?
There was another one too that was
there's a lot of Blade,
yeah,
that's from a comic series. Book too, sure. But they're like, the way this is being presented is like, no, this is the single most film for race relations in the world today. Like, I'm sorry, if you're resting your race relations on Marvel comic movies, you are effed. You are effed, man. Maybe let's not put it into that category and let's say, hey, let's hope it's a good movie.
Well, I'm just looking through here. We have the Black Superman, came out in 1977.
Blooper Man, yes, yeah. I remember.
Yeah, so we've got Cleopatra Jones.
Yeah.
The Men in Blacks. Right? I guess you would...
Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's Black, John.
The Men in Black.
Men in Black.
Series, I meant. I was...
Very careful, sir.
Oh, yeah, I get you.
Men in Blacks is a porn series. Do not want to get involved in that. Do not Google Men in Blacks.
Yeah, okay. That was... Oh, that's Meteor Man. That's the one I was thinking of. You mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah,
so there's quite a few that are out there.
You know, do you remember Robert Townsend?
That's the movie I was thinking of, and I couldn't think of it. Yeah, I remember he was a two-hit wonder, right? Had a couple of movies.
He had Hollywood Shuffle.
Yes, and that was the big,
which is a spectacular film.
Yeah,
and he kind of did some other stuff, and it kind of went away.
Yeah, Meteor Man, 1993, Blank Man.
That was another Blank Man.
Yeah, that was Damon.
I don't know if that's true. It's true superhero, though. I don't know if that's...
And then Shaq played Steel. Is that a super?
Okay.
And then Spawn.
Okay. Yeah, Spawn is definitely African-American.
And you mentioned Hancock. Slight.
Yeah.
Came out last year or 2 years ago. I don't quite know what that is, but...
Anyway, for like the Marvel genre, blah, 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 right. It's the first blah, 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 blah.
And I'm with you. I'm kind of a little bit... over the constant hype of these superhero films.
Yeah.
You know, they're popcorn movies. You go, you're entertained, and you don't remember anything about it.
Exactly. I just want to go and just watch a movie. I don't want to go and be like, oh, what does this say about me as a white person who's, you know, am I enjoying this in the appropriate ways? Am I finding the humor where there's supposed to be humor? Am I seeing the drama where there's supposed to be drama? Am I understanding it? Am I then going to be able to correlate it to my experience with other African Americans? And then what if I liked it too much? Then does that say something about me being a white man?
Right.
What about we just end the show, John?